This is Degaris, Masculist, MGTOW, Flyers. That is 2-3 page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is flyer number 670, entitled My Two Lives as a Latin Masculist. Description. This flyer describes the two lives I live as a Latin masculist. Latin is a lifestyle, in brackets, living apart together, that has considerable advantages for a masculisted man, giving him the best of both worlds, that is, the pluses of a good relationship with a woman, for example, regular sex, emotional intimacy, cuddling, companionship, etc., without the negatives of a traditional full-time relationship with a woman, for example, her nagging, her withholding sex, her controlling a man, etc. A lat relationship is when the man and the woman have their own abode, both of whom are FIPs, and they stay together part-time. For example, in my case, 3 nights and 4 days a week together, and the rest apart. This flyer argues that the manosphere should be talking a lot more about latting, because it's a liberating lifestyle for men that will probably become the norm in a few decades amongst adults who are beyond their child-raising age. The flyer itself. My Two Lives as a Latin Masculist by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. In this flyer, I make the case that the manosphere should be paying a lot more attention to the advantages for men, for masculists, of the Latin lifestyle. For those of you who are not familiar with the term Latin, it's the adjective of the verb to lat, L-A-T, that is, living apart together, which is a lifestyle in which two people have a part-time relationship, living in two separate dwellings, with each being a fit, in brackets, financially independent person. In this flyer, I will describe my own experience of latting, which I've been doing with a female partner for 4 years, pointing out its considerable advantages for men, for masculisted men, and will suggest to the manosphere a lot more attention be given to the latting lifestyle. I am not a full-time MGTOW, that is, I am not like Sandman and other men who choose to live totally alone without a woman in their lives. I feel these full-time MGTOWs have thrown the baby, a very large baby, out with the bathwater. I feel they are missing out on life, failing to enjoy the considerable benefits of a Latin relationship that a man can have with a woman. However, I am a masculist, that is, a men's libber. That is, I give a lot of time and mental energy to the masculist cause, to the liberation of men from many horrible and decades-lasting ways that women oppress men. For example, with women's manslavery, in brackets, the worst of all gender crimes in either direction, close brackets. Women's divorce rate, in brackets, that describes the lives of one father in four. That destroys the lives of one father in four. And women's forced fathering, a horrible gender crime that women commit against men. I write and video masculist flyers, that is, 2-3 page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, and upload them to a string of video hosting sites. Initially, I uploaded them to YouTube for several years, but in 2019, my masculist channel was deleted by YouTube, which disgusted me with YouTube's sexist hypocrisy, with its CEO, Susan Wojcicki, a feminist, a monoconscious feminist, promoting feminist channels on YouTube and deleting, capital letters, masculist and MGTOW channels. This sexist, bigoted hypocrisy of hers made her the most hated woman in the manosphere. Before being deleted by YouTube, I was given strikes So I quickly uploaded all my maskless videos to Minds and to BitChute and later to Odyssey, MGTOW.tv and X. Killing two birds with one stone, that is, increasing the odds that my maskless videos would not be blocked from public access by a single video hosting site, and to spread maskless ideas to a wider audience. I have made nearly 700 such maskless flyers and their videos to date, so I'm obviously a committed maskless, believing that men need to be liberated from the horrible and decades-lasting gender crimes that women commit against men, punishing such gender criminal women by effectively exterminating them, by totally ignoring them, not even pumping and dumping them, so that they rot on the shelf, dying slow, miserable deaths. As a maskless, I have a hatred of gender criminal women and am at war against them, aiming to force women to become bi-conscious, that is, to be aware that gender oppression is very much a two-way street and that in reality, women oppress men far worse than vice versa, which is in sharp distinction to what the monoconscious feminists have been saying for the past six decades, with their near monopoly of gender politics, preaching to women and to society that gender oppression is a one-way street, that men are the oppressors and women are the oppressed, which is a deeply misandrist, genocentric viewpoint that the maskless despise. So, if I'm such a committed maskless and have a hatred of gender criminal women with whom, as a maskless, I am at war against, then why am I advocating for men to live the Latting lifestyle? Isn't that hypocritical? Oxymoronic? The short answer is no. One can be both a maskless and live the Latting lifestyle. So how are these two notions compatible? Well, consider the advantages of latting for the man, the masculisted man. The woman he has a lat relationship with is a FIP. That is part of the very definition of latting. So there is no financial dependence of the woman in the latting relationship on the man. She is a FIP. That's financially independent person. There's no divorce rate by the woman on the man, since there is no marriage. The two partners have a part-time relationship that has absolutely nothing to do with the government, with the law, since there is no marriage contract. If they want, they can take out a legal, mutually signed contract stating that they keep their financial independence if they separate. The basic understanding of the Latting relationship is that the two partners are FIPs and feel a strong moral obligation on both parties, that is, the man and the woman, that they be FIPs, with no expectation that one partner will parasite off the money and labour of the other. The great advantage to men of a lat relationship is that if the woman starts nagging, withholding sex, tries controlling the man, or becomes really negative towards the man in any way, then he can so easily just walk away from the relationship at no financial cost to him, since his former female partner is a FIP. So he is not manslaved by her, nor divorce raped by her, and the woman knows this. Thus, the constant threat of the man just walking away keeps the woman in check, stops her nagging, keeps her behaviour civil towards the man. Otherwise, she is so easily dumped, left alone in her own dwelling, to contemplate and what she did wrong to her former male partner. Now the same logic applies to the man as well. So if the woman feels that her male latting partner is behaving like a pig, a brute, a bastard, then she too can so easily walk away, and the man knows this. So he too is motivated to be civil towards her, so as to motivate her not to kill the relationship. Thus, with the constant threat of either party ending the relationship, the latting relationship remains civil, with each partner making the effort to be civil, to be nice to the other, to invest time and energy, to please the other. Since if not, why would the other bother to stay in a negative relationship when either partner can so easily just walk away? In the UK, I read I read a few years ago that a quarter of so-called singles actually lat, and that this lifestyle is becoming increasingly popular, so that probably it will become the norm in future decades. If one thinks about latting for a moment, it's a lifestyle that suits older, single adults who are past the child-raising age. At that age, it's likely that when a relationship starts up, that both of them have their own abode, their own house or apartment, and that both of them are FIPs, since how else could they survive financially if they were not? So, for older singles, latting seems a very natural lifestyle once its advantages are well known. Older singles usually have their own interests and circle of friends, their own lives and time commitments, so are able to use their days of the week when they are not together with their latting partner to continue to foster their friends and commitments. They, in effect, like me and my latting partner, live two lives. That is, when they are together with their latting partner and when they are not. My partner enjoys my company when I am with her and vice versa. When I'm not with her, she has her own circle of friends and interests and time commitments which she devotes her time and energy to, and so do I. In practice, my lat girlfriend has a nice house with a beautiful garden, whereas I live in a bachelor apartment, so we both prefer to live in her house than my apartment. So in practice, I spend some of my money on her house because I live half-time in her house. For example, I spend money on tools for the house. I do a lot of the construction around the house with my male energy and superior strength. In brackets, the average man is 3 times stronger across the chest than the average woman. She is a damn good cook, so I benefit from her gourmet dinners and her beautiful garden that we both put a lot of time and effort into. Because our lat relationship is part-time, that is 3 nights and 4 days a week together, that is, 3 days apart, by the time we see each other again, we are happy to see each other, so the relationship remains fresh. Full-time living together often breeds Full-time living together breeds complacency, so that it is all too easy to start complaining, nagging, etc., that is, to become uncivil. The few days apart each week fosters one's appreciation of the company of the other. After some days apart, living on one's own, one enjoys the company of the other. The few days separation each week generates a sexual hunger as well, so often in lat relationships there is a regular, reliable and enjoyable sex. Since the physical separation makes one conscious of what one is missing during the days apart each week. So typically, the first day together there is good, passionate sex that certainly helps the quality of the relationship, bonding it. On the other hand, by the fourth day together, it often happens that one is happy to be alone for a while to pursue one's own interest and to be on one's own, to do what one wants to do oneself without having to cater to the presence of the other. In other words, there are considerable advantages to latting, which is why it is a growing and already considerable social phenomenon that is likely to become the norm, especially for older singles who are past the child-raising stage. For couples with children, latting is less practical, since the children need the presence of both parents. Little boys suffer greatly in today's society, since in many Western countries, custody of children after a divorce is given in 90% of cases to the mother. So the children are then deprived of the presence of the father, and similarly with the predominance of female primary school teachers. So millions of little boys are deprived of male role models in their lives, so grow up feminized, which makes them sexually unattractive to women, who at a deep level prefer to give their vaginas to men who are more masculinized than feminized. For most women, is so much more clumsy. For most women, having a relationship with a feminized man is like having a lesbian relationship. I could write a whole other flyer on how latting might apply to couples who are still child raising, so I will pass on that topic for the rest of this flyer. But since adults who are past the child raising age are the majority of adults, latting is a lifestyle that is of great potential importance to society. To see that the majority of adults are past child raising age, do the math. The majority life expectancy of people in Western country is about 80 years. Couples having kids usually have only one or two, so these kids are off their hands after two decades. So assuming that these parents start having kids at about 30, then by age of about 50, they are free again, so have another 30 years of child-free life. That is 60% of their life after 30. Oh, I lost my place. However, stats show that by 2030, in the US, half of women at age 30 will be manless and childless. So this only adds more years to women's childlessness, so only increases the potential number of years that latting applies to them, in brackets, provided these women do choose to lat and not to remain manless. The manosphere barely talks about latting, which I feel is a big mistake, since latting offers men the best of both worlds. It gives the man the pluses of a relationship with a woman.